This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, so back for How the Other Half Live. How are we, boys?
Good.
Very good, mate.
Went down a treat by here last week, the two of us. Seriously, downloads are fucking very good.
Well,
if Paul Stone's listening to this.
Using us, mate.
When is he coming on with me? He's scared of me, isn't he?
He can't come on a Premier League podcast, mate.
No, but I know, right. He needs to go on the next one or I'm not coming.
Are you wanting him on?
Aye.
For what reason? Nobody can see it, so you didn't look good sitting next to him.
Just that. Jan, I don't look good sitting next to anybody. Never mind.
Boy,
I might do him a favour.
But I was going to say, third best looking, I would say second and third best looking playing the Prem, Scottish, after Big Charlie Adam.
In reverse order, is that?
He's been alright, he's done skying together, I've seen that.
Good, mate.
Aye. Good, mate.
Good.
Enjoying
game.
Each other's company, or is it getting a wee bit too much?
No,
it's been alright, mate. Aye.
Getting to know him.
Uh-huh.
Good.
And what have you got to know about him?
Aye,
he loves Everton.
Loves Everton. Aye. He actually had his Everton top under his jumper there.
Under his suit?
Aye.
You love Everton, Tommy. That was the feedback.
He doesn't give us a cent about Everton.
Andy Gray was your hero growing up?
No, Andy Gray wasn't.
Richard Keyes was yours?
No, it was Graeme Sharp, wasn't it? Sharpie. Still gets wheeled out, didn't he?
Sharpie stays up steps. I see him every now and again. Stays up steps.
Sharpie's on the board.
He does, Graeme Sharp. Nah, seen him walking about.
No, he's like, stay there. He must have.
No, it's 100% he stays down in Liverpool, mate. He used to get ripped out for every single meal.
He's on the board.
Tom Boyd.
He's on the board.
Oh, is he? Fair, he's an Everton legend.
He is.
He's a legend.
What were you going to say? He's like who?
Tom Boyd.
Tom Boyd loves it, didn't he?
Aye, just gets whipped out every event.
So he's an ambassador.
Aye, I get that. So he's an ambassador, isn't he?
Somebody told me Tom Boyd's hippie as well.
I heard that as well, by the way. I actually heard that.
That's it, right, Grosvenor Sport, boys. Sign up offer from Grosvenor Sport. Bet £5, get £25 free any bet in any sport. Sign up at gsport.com/opengoal. He's watching boxing at the weekend.
Aye.
What happened to Joshua then?
Don't know, mate.
He lost.
He's in a Tom Boyd moment, isn't he?
Can you rest?
Right.
I actually thought, and it's probably an unpopular opinion, that he'd done all right. I thought he was doing well, and then he lost it in the end.
In the fight?
Aye.
Aye. The fight, I thought he'd done all right. He did all right. He was outclassed, but it was a speech at the end, man. Just, aye. Where was this going? This is like cringe.
It was a two parts to it, though. Aye. The fact he dropped the belts and stormed out and was shouting at some of the crowd, and then he's like.
He came back and was like pure apologetic, wasn't he?
He was like reset himself and then come back in and.
I was in the ends in Reading.
I was in the ends with the Utes.
Yeah, guys, for Ukraine.
Whatever's going on in Ukraine, I don't know what's going on. But
his country's war torn. I was in the ends with the Utes. What?
He's had a Tom Boyd moment there, isn't he?
That was bizarre.
Boydie does. That's how Boydie reacts if Tosh McKinley gets invited to Celtic Town. He does that. Right, we're on at the Premier League. Leeds beat Chelsea 3-0. Surprise given Chelsea's squad this season, manager, some result for Leeds, wasn't it?
It was brilliant, but I think Leeds were excellent. Thomas Tuchel after the game was saying that they didn't deserve to lose, and it was, you know, a mistake and whatever else, but you know, Leeds, the pressure they put them under were excellent. Jesse Marsh done a talk on my pro licence.
Oh, you said that?
He was outstanding.
Is he not a bit cheesy in Americans usually?
No, he wasn't, he was outstanding, honestly.
Was he?
Aye.
What was the main things you got for it?
It must be ball speed, daft.
Is that what Americans talk about, ball speed?
Mate, everybody talks about ball speed.
Oh, did I, right?
Are you a ball speed coach?
No. No, I'm not a ball speed coach. I get into trouble for saying the low block, as soon as it came out my mouth, I made a mistake. But not just his, he went through everything that he'd done as a player, getting into coaching and always wanting to go and work in Europe, or come to Europe and work. Going to Austria. I think he worked with Ranić, he was his assistant at Leipzig.
Ralph, was he?
Initially. And then he went to Salzburg and he was just talking about, you know, getting to know the place he was working in, understanding the fans, and then just the way he dealt with the players, it was like making it as simple as possible. He worked under Bob Bradley as well, didn't he?
No,
I
he never.
That wrong. He did.
Really?
He worked under
Alan Pergil.
And so he spoke about him getting battered for the Americanisms.
Yeah.
So he's like, I've got to make sure I don't say them, but honestly, he was brilliant.
He geese people a bit, didn't he? Because he was talking about Tuchel before it, saying, I hope you better not be on the dugout, you better be in the stand, huh? It takes no shit, man.
Nah, he was brilliant.
Do you think he's a
dish
bag, innit?
No, do you know what he is? He actually seems to be doing well with these. Nah, it's just being American people. It's bad saying it, isn't it? Because Americans are so new to football, isn't it? It's just, they're not really embedded in this culture. But I think he seems good. Talks well, and he's definitely got Leeds playing well.
What is his style? Is it sort of high press?
It's high press, mate.
Yeah.
It's intense.
After it, didn't he? High press. Outrunning opponents, fighting, battling. But obviously he's brought in players that fit into that, and they've played some good stuff as well. I think they'll do well this year. I really do.
He's both played at Elland Road someplace, haven't it?
Aye.
You played there as well.
I had 1-3-0 met him.
Sorry.
I was only
stick that in your pipe, Jesse.
I think I've lost every game I've played there, actually.
Have you? Nah. I'll show you how it's done. Nah. You man.
Sunderland lost every game we played there.
What is that? Nah. Good atmosphere, eh?
Great atmosphere.
Marching on together.
Oh, really good atmosphere.
Was Sadie Bamford playing?
No, he wasn't actually. No. Nah.
What about
front, your? Ruth was up front.
It was Ruth.
He was good, I thought, actually. Yeah. He was good.
What, busy?
Busy, quite sharp, but like strong for his size as well, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought he was one of the better players. They had a good team to
be fair
around.
You can do whatever you want here, and you choose to have it like that, right?
We
have our hair the way it has to be, so we're not going to slag Barnett's. Come on.
What is that squint? Is my friend squint? I'm always part of that. It is squint, isn't it?
You see it in that mirror?
That's why I sit here.
I thought you'd put it in a side shed, to be honest, mate.
Does it look like it's meant to be straight? Might be straight down. Is that a side shed? That Leeds team you played against, you played Viduka, Smith, Robinson, Milner, Pennant. Don't know how Gary Kelly's gotten with that fucking company, but we've put him in there, Gary Kelly as well. They were Champions League winning and they got relegated that year in the Premier League. You were in a relegation battle with them.
Yep.
Leeds team turn, eh?
No.
No?
It was my first start, was against Leeds, and we battered them 4-0. And they had all these players playing. And
having themselves?
No, it wasn't anything like that. The boy Rocky Jr. playing for them as well, he'd won the World Cup and big
now
dog
he's
dragged him, his shirt was hanging off his. Well, I think he'd take that. We battered them 4-0, and it was my first game, my first start in the Premier League, and I thought, wow, if this team go to the Champions League semi-final, not that long before it, then, you know, I'm ready here. But then the next week I'm crashing back down to earth against Stevie Carr, got absolutely bullied.
Was Carr
taught
good?
Him away. Just
Barry Ferguson loves Stevie Carr.
Aggressive, got tight, knew when to get tight, knew when to kick you, knew when to stand off you. I played against Gary Kelly, directly against him, and he was starter for Republic Ireland ahead of Stevie Carr.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a good day. It was probably one of my best games, actually, my first game. And then the next week against Stevie Carr, wow. Brought back down to earth.
Tough lesson, eh? You play both in
that's funny, that, because Gary Kelly's like, supposed to be an absolute legend of a guy, but when he was at Leeds, he was like, everybody said he was absolutely class.
What player like?
He was a top player.
He was
very highly rated.
So I'm getting into that game thinking, right, it's my first start. I played against Stockport the midweek, done well.
At Stockport?
No, at home. And then playing against Gary Kelly, who, as I said, was ahead of Stevie Carr. He was Ireland's, he must have had close to 100 caps for Ireland.
Nah, I'm not sure how many caps he's got, but it's funny how that works, though. You think
maybe Gary that was
Kelly,
what I thought as well.
And then you come up and play against him, and this was an easy enough day. And then Stevie Carr, you're not worried about, and he's probably bombing on right up you every time you get the ball. Right up your arse.
I would like to think that Gary Kelly phones Stevie Carr and says, "Watch this wee guy," and he did. Honestly, I've never felt so humiliated in my life in a football pitch.
He was stalky, wasn't he, Stephen Carr? Plus, he would just play it inside and bomb on, wasn't he?
Solid. I played with him at Birmingham. He was unbelievable. He'd retired for like 7 months, and he came back, signed a month deal in the January, then just kept signing month, and then he captained us to the Gallon Cup.
You said,
aye, he's nuts, but in training, incredible, great shape, just he was brilliant. One of the guys you go, aye, I'll have you in my team no matter where you're.
Were you Ireland then? What were they like? So were you a young boy?
Well, Gary Keller wasn't. Stevie Carr was. I think I roomed with Stevie Carr a few times, first few trips.
Did you? Why did that happen? Did he ask to get
you? No, I wouldn't ask to get me. He'd probably get papped to me. And I, you know what I mean? It's like awkward when you're about 18.
Yeah.
I think I had like Andy O'Brien.
Who, the big nose at Newcastle?
I'm like 18 in the flat.
That's
what
he was getting. There is a mirror behind him. You're looking at it.
Andy O'Brien, who else?
Graeme Kavanagh, the Cav.
Oh, with the worst fringe in football?
Right.
Up till now.
Just a wee tub of shockwaves just going like that.
You only touched the fringe with the jet on it. The rest of his hair was bone dry.
Aye,
and you and Steve Staunton used to get one bedroom room together, didn't
it? In Stan. Oh, he was actually my gaffer.
Was he?
Aye, he was my gaffer.
Was he a hero, Steve Staunton?
Aye, he was sound.
Was he?
He was all that era.
I never had anybody in that squad. Like, that was probably one of the best things about Ireland. There was never... I'd say it wasn't a footballing ability, it was a more togetherness that probably took us further than we should have went.
Hmm.
Like, you wouldn't look at our squad like at the Euros 6 years ago and go, like, any of those players are top players, elite players? Probably not. A couple of like really good players, then the rest were all good players, but we end up getting to the last 16 of the Euros. And I'd say it's more to do with like, the actual team.
Was it a big drink? I think a few people had a bit. So what,
it was
any good
a few years
stories?
Ago.
What was it? Days on end?
Days, mate.
Was it?
Days, like.
So, people have said if you're playing Saturday and you're playing Tuesday, you're drinking Saturday all day Sunday.
Aye, so you'd meet up on the Sunday and it'd be like get in, played on the Saturday, get in, drop your bags off in the hotel, text somebody and say, MD about, and it'd be like a squad down in the bar or a squad down in the pub, and it'd be like Sunday, Monday, then it would filter off, then game Friday or game Saturday, and then it'd be like Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. Just continue. It was like stag do's.
Mind that day, he says you don't want to say anything that gets you into trouble.
No, that's what I think. A lot of people have came on and said that.
It's well known. The guys that
well known.
We used to have would be like, aye, we just meet up and go to the pub, and we're meeting up and going training on a Sunday and double sessions every day, and you're like, they're getting a tournament.
That's why he chose
not.
Ireland, wasn't it? That's why Aiden chose Ireland.
You're saying like that's a bad thing, but that's not a slight, because we actually done well with that squad. People might say, oh, you could have done so much better if you didn't do that, but no, that was the biggest thing.
Yeah,
it's, all the lads got on really, really well. There wasn't anybody in the squad that you'd go, oh, he was an outcast or nobody liked him. Great squad.
When you know it's a good squad, then you get it where there's people that are dedicated, they'll be there no matter what. If they're left at the squad, if a phone call, they'll be there within an hour. They're desperate to play. There's other ones that play because they enjoy it. It's maybe good for them. And there's ones that maybe flit in between and say, I can't be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens in a squad. But if you've got that at the start of it, and that unit that's together,
boys,
everybody's like, right, when's the next international?
Nobody was pulling out the squads.
Just for the days, is it? Who else was heroes in that squad?
Kino was really good, to be fair. Kino was good.
Were you with Kev Coban?
Aye, Kev was a good guy as well.
Zinedine Coban,
great guy.
Where'd you play Everton?
A lot of older lads. Were.
Good lads.
Aye, really good lads.
Was the Scotland team like that in terms of going out for a drink? Nah.
No, before. Sometimes you get it after the game or on the Saturday and between the Wednesday. No, at that 15 pints or that. You'd have a few, but. It's always strange because
Big Mick likes 15 pints of Guinness, doesn't he?
And you've got a dynamic where you've got a lot of Rangers players, a lot of Celtic players, and people think they don't go on, but certainly the older generation did. Like,
where were you in amongst that then?
Right,
Celtic,
right in amongst it.
You were at the Celtic end, weren't you?
Right in amongst it. I was Big Lee McCulloch's boot boy. Played with David Weir. So they were guys that I knew.
What are you talking about, man?
But no, everybody just mixed. If it was a coffee school, that was the guys. It didn't matter who it was. If it was, we'd have the PlayStation or whatever. That's what happened. Card school, didn't matter. Everybody mixed.
Mixed together.
And they got on great.
Were you involved in that time with Ferguson and McGregor?
No, thank God.
What, were you up in your room?
No, I was there.
Oh, were you in that squad?
Oh, were you not?
No.
What, you got patched for that squad?
No, I was injured.
Oh, you're right.
Thank God.
Fergie stays still raging with that.
It seems it was quite a lot made over not a lot as well at the time.
I, like, there's a few in there.
There's a few get away.
I don't know the story.
You
do. Exactly.
You know the story.
You know the story better than me.
Right, here, we've been completely off track, but it was good. I wanted to ask you, was Viduka at Celtic when you were in? Young enough. That Leeds team, as we said, Leeds, they're a Premier League club, and could they challenge for Europe? Can they get back to the dizzy heights?
I think they could do.
This season or in time?
Yeah.
I think they can. I think they've got already spoke about the manager. I think they've got a good manager. And when he starts, if they go on a run and start doing well, then the fact that he is American will stop getting talked about, because then people start talking about his ability as a manager. I think they've got a chance. I think there's a few teams that are capable of putting a run on, because of, you know, what's happening now with some of the bigger teams. You never know.
What about any other Americans that you've played with? Did you play with Landon Donovan? Yeah. You and Dom Serby were tight.
He's the first guy I thought of when I seen that question. Dom Serby.
You know, he's like a mad Trump supporter, huh?
A mad what?
Donald Trump supporter.
Oh, is he? Just thought it was.
Do you remember?
Nice enough guy.
Do you remember he caught Nicky Riley rubbing his gloves with his boys? He's gonna kill him.
He's the only goalie with 6'7" who could get dinked every day in training.
He was hopeless, wasn't he?
Get dinked every day.
Oh. I've told you the story anyway. I've told it on the podcast. I was trying to be nice, mate. First tennis one, I went, alright, big man, do you like 50 cent? And he pure looked at us like I just shat in his face. He's like, do you mean 50 cent? What a dick.
Oh. he was funny though, wasn't he? Because anything he used to joke about America, like, you know, something going on in America, like take the piss out something, he would get properly raging about it. Pure patriotic.
Any other Americans? Like Landon Donovan?
Landon Donovan was there my second spell.
Player, nah?
Tim Howard. Aye, he was good. He was good. He was only there, I think he'd been before, and then he came back on alone. He was at LA Galaxy, so he was only there for 2 or 3 months. But he was a good player.
What about Howard? Did he hate tonight?
Aye, Tim would...
Would he shout stuff?
No.
No, wasn't that sort of stuff?
No, he wasn't.
He used to kind of, it was like coughing, it wasn't bad. Great guy, brilliant goalie as well, didn't he have that, like, I don't know, because you think
going for Scotland to England, the banter's different, he was like right in amongst it, he was, loved being involved in it, he was a great guy.
Did him and Bill Kernwright not do one-on-one basketball games?
I don't know. He had the best punt ever though. He used to do the old school bounce and then run and bounce and just right. Punt it high in air. Bro, he scored.
Were you there when Bill Kenwright brought Sylvester Stallone to a game?
Aye.
No way. Did you meet him?
Aye.
What was he like?
That was mental. It's like, just came in the dressing room while the boys were all over him, and Moise was one where like preparation was everything and everything was serious, so you're like, right, Rocky's coming. Love Rocky. Love all the films. Could watch them all day, every day. And I'm like, right, but we've got a game here. So he's out in the pitch, dancing about with a scarf and all that.
He's not been back since, though, has he, either?
I don't know.
He's an Everton fan. He's not been back.
Has he not?
He's in your supporters group, as you know.
He's in my one.
And then he was in the dressing room, and I'm like, right, I need to meet Rocky. Uh-huh. But I'm going to meet him and then go on with it. Tim Cahill had all sorts of stuff for him to sign. Gloves and all that. He's signing it. Sly, Sylvester, Rocky, everything. He'd loads of them. Man, we've got a game. Gaffer's going to be going mental here. Didn't bother. I was raging. I never took it into consideration. But I met him anyway. Uh-huh. Met Rocky.
And
I ran up the steps and done the old...
What, in Philadelphia, have you?
Done the old Rocky stuff.
Any other Americans, you?
Sorry, I forgot about Tim Howard, actually.
How about you put that? Have you seen Everton?
I was at Everton as well. Uh-huh.
Good guy?
Aye, good guy.
Was he mad into his American sports?
No, like he's saying there, James is saying, but he actually was quite kind of almost converted to being a British player. Yeah. The way he used to speak and stuff like that, and the way he used to talk about football and that, you didn't think of him as American. I loved his American sport, but not like your typical American guy. He was more like British, I thought, towards the end. He'd been there for so long. He obviously went to Man United, didn't he?
So he did, he's at Man U first, that's right. Uh-huh.
He was at Everton for years as well.
Yeah.
Good guy, good goalie as well.
Sylvester Stallone kept shouting the Liverpool sub-goalie's name, didn't he, during one of the games? Adrian.
That's terrible, mate. That's... How long have you been thinking about that? And the delivery's dreadful as well.
You're in a relegation battle. We spoke about how what's the consequences of that for a club if that happens. Somebody says Burnley have lost an absolute fortune we're going down.
But their ownership was a bit... Their ownership's different. They kind of gambled on staying up, didn't they, when they took over. But for us, it was... I'd signed that year, I think the season before, they'd finished in the top half, maybe seventh. And then it was about obviously try to do well again, but we were down the bottom. I think we got safe with a few games to spare, but it's no nice because you know that obviously the financial side of it, but it's no nice getting beat every week either.
Was that under Moisey?
Aye.
How was he in a relegation battle?
Do you know what? I don't really remember too much about it. I remember coming to the end, being safe. I think we played Man City the last game of the season, our second last game of the season away. We got absolutely battered, but it was before Man City were like a top side. He beat 5-1, he was fuming. Absolutely fuming because we were safe, but he was like, it's unacceptable. Mm. And then we went away pre-season, we went to America in pre-season. And it was really, really strict and really hard. But there was a wee bit of a change in him. And I don't want to say softened because it sounds like he was never soft, mm-hmm. but there was a difference in him. It was a brilliant trip. We were away for 10 days, and as soon as we got, because of how hard they are, as soon as we got there, he's like, right, go and have a couple of beers, day off, or training tomorrow, or whatever, but have a few beers, go and enjoy yourself.
Do you ever get a beer with Moisey?
No.
Never, nah. Did he not do that?
Well, he always organised, every year he would organise like a night out for all the players, all the wives, staff, all their partners, and have like a meal and hire out a hall and have like a party basically. Mm-hmm. So you were all getting to know each other. New players had to get up and sing. If you were there, we tried to get everybody up and sing. That was just part of the culture. So he was good at that side of it. But going that pre-season trip, it was like, right, going, you just can have a few beers, relax. And then we trained hard, played game. Then have a night out in between, then have a night out at the end. So when you're 10 days away, knowing how hard it is, that was after being in Austria and getting absolutely battered. But it going back to your stuff with Ireland, you get together then. And then that next season, we finished fourth. So
it works.
He done something to change it. And it was always all about the team and how the team functioned. And, you know, you hear it all the day, you know, work hard, high intensity. He was obsessed with your pro zone stuff. Your kilometres, your high intensity running, all that stuff.
You good at that now?
Yeah, I had to be.
Would you cover a lot of ground when you played for Everton? Huh?
You had to be. We'd play a 4-4, either a 4-1-4-1 or a 4-4-1-1, and I'd play wide, and he'd say his wide men had to do things that was impossible. If you were on the attack, you had to be all the way up. If you were on defence, you had to be all the way back. So it was like, if you didn't run, you didn't play. And he checked it every week. If you lost a game, he'd go, right, your stats are down, every player's doing a kilometre or whatever, unacceptable. He was obsessed with it.
Well, where did you finish the years you were in the Premier League?
Season I joined, I finished fifth.
Oh, you're fifth, huh?
Should have finished fourth, really, but we had a bit of a beast the last 3-4 games of the season. We lost at home to Palace, lost at home to Arsenal. We drew at home to Arsenal. And Arsenal just pipped us in the last day to fourth. Should have really finished fourth. Had finished fifth, then following season was like my only real proper season at the club. I think we finished maybe like 11th or something like that.
Right. How was Martinez for boys socialising? Do you mind that?
He never organised anything himself, but
just Jason Derulo concerts every week, wasn't it?
That was basically it. I think he's teetotal, Martinez, as well, so right. I don't think he was massively keen on lads going out and stuff like that, but didn't have a massive culture of that anyway, because I found the British lads, to be fair, would go out the odd time, but the foreigners, you know what it's like, people stick to their own kind of groups, you know, foreigners always kind of stick together. he wasn't mad on socialising, to be fair. He wasn't, just the way he is as a manager. I kind of never understand that, though, because I think it's a massive part of football. Managers that don't go for it, or, you know, managers that don't allow you a night out, it'll be pre-season, stuff like that. I never understand
that. So would you not allow that pre-season now, Martinez?
I think maybe we went pre-season. Well, no.
Nah.
No, because the pre-season I was he didn't. And you know, everybody's been away for a week,
desperate
10 days, and itching for it. a night out or something. Break, and, aye, it's just like, but you've been away pre-season, not seen your family, nothing, and you've been training twice a day, three times a day. I don't get why managers do that. Like,
well, hardly hated it as well.
I don't get it. Like,
Moyes done it all the time. Not just the meal. We'd go away in November time for a couple of days to the Lake District, and it'd be, you would have to go for a run in the morning, but you'd be going to socialise, have a meal, have a few drinks, go up the next day, go for a run, or do the team building stuff, and then depending on what happened with the FA Cup, he'd take the boys away like 4 or 5 days again, go and have a night out, running the next day, every day. But it was all about getting team the team together.
I think the lads can always put up with that, see if there's a night out, as long as you're not taking the piss, and you know, like, as long as you're not getting arrested, yeah, or you're not missing the flight. I mean, as long as you work hard, mm-hmm. I think lads love that.
I think it's depends.
You missed the flight in Scotland.
Aye, last game of the season. It depends what you're going for. I think if you're going knowing, right, we've got to work hard and you'll get a night out in the middle, then as long as you work hard, then fine. Uh-huh. Sometimes, as I say, they would take you away and it was about team bonding rather than fitness. You still had to go for a run, but you just had to be there.
Mm.
And that's a guy that generally was really strict when it came to preparation and, you know, your attitude to training every single day had to be top level. But when it was time to let your hair down, when I had hair at that point, it was it. That's what you were doing, and it was about getting together. And the new guys that used to come in pre-season sometimes were like, what's going on here? You know, we've got a night out this early, and
can you blame it?
And sing and be part of it and get to know the staff and that. So
is that true, Moyes? You loved the Blue WKD?
Don't know.
What's
the joke there?
I've heard that.
What's the joke there?
No, I'm just saying I heard that's what he drinks. Right, Champions League draw this week. Celtic and potentially Rangers. What English team do you think they take the best chance against? Arsenal aren't even. What
I was going to say.
It's hard, isn't it? Who could they get a game?
I think there's nothing to lose playing against them, no matter who it is. It'll be easy, but you would fancy that they can give them a game. You look
it's
at
been
Rangers,
done in the past, isn't it?
You look at Rangers last year. Well, they're
the top, teams. Like when you were at Celtic, we were there. Like you always got them, the English champions.
Yeah,
it's the exact same. I know City, Liverpool might be. We can consider them a level above what it was 10, 15 years ago.
Nah, probably not.
Probably not.
Nah.
But they're the best teams there just now, and everyone's obsessed with the way they play and the players that they sign. But
did you just change though playing against these teams? Just
honestly, we actually never did. No, that's the crazy thing. We never did. It's not like we've even done a lot of shape or tactics or that. We just kind of, like, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
It's kind
just
of
you lying behind the wall. That was all
you
did.
Oh, finished that. Lying behind the wall, man. I'm getting blasted in your head. Oh. How come it was always me though? Oh, I know why it was me. How many times have ever happened? No one ever does it.
Nah, it's never.
10 free kicks in training. Aiden, you've got to lie down behind the wall.
I remember
the wall's jumping and I'm getting the ball smashed at the back of my head. I'm lying there like,
aye, but they're jumping with their knees up like that, make sure.
Sarkin was actually saying, make sure you hit him. Make sure you hit him. I'm getting blasted in the head with the ball.
Did he not take a peek? He took one, didn't he?
He took one as well, zinged it right along the deck.
Gary Pendy was hitting one as well, wasn't he?
No, you're laughing, but that's actually true, mate. That's actually true.
So would he go, he'd still go 4-4-2, kind of Jan and Scotty up front?
4-4-2, aye. I never played anything different.
Celtic will do this. Boscoglu will do this.
I don't know, change,
no, won't change.
So it'd be interesting to see how they go, because I think Celtic have improved. I think they will continue to improve. And Rangers showed last year, you know, they can adjust. They're a team.
They changed,
don't
they?
They will change.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it'll be interesting to see if they get them.
Who would you fancy them against?
Chelsea just now,
obviously potential Rangers.
Chelsea, Leeds beat them 3-0 at the weekend.
Aye,
and Liverpool haven't started.
Liverpool haven't started.
I'd like to see them against Man City though, in terms of the way they play.
Yeah. Well, Brendan Rodgers teamed in on it against Man City, didn't they?
Aye.
Was it 3-3 at Celtic Park?
Aye.
Dembele scored, didn't he?
From home, was it 2-1 maybe? Did Patrick Roberts score as well?
I think he maybe did.
Was it 1-0 maybe? 1-0 away from home, it wasn't.
They were the first team to beat Man City. I think it was since the start of the season, wasn't it? Brendan Rodgers, sorry, Tate Points.
I'd like to see him against Man City.
Aye.
Yeah.
And obviously, you'd like to see any of those teams. I think any of those teams at Celtic Park would be a great pool for all the fans.
See the Champions League nights, are you more nervous than you are for a normal game?
They probably are, but you wouldn't want to say it, would you? It's just that it's not more nervous, it's just a different different. You don't need to get yourself up for it. It's a different build up to the game. You just know when the balls start coming out, you know, like on the Monday, and the Champions League balls start coming out in training, you're like, oh, this is serious now.
Yeah. It's like when you're using mitres in the League Cup, you're playing the Premier League, you get mitres and you're like, oh my God.
Just a different
what was your first Champions League game?
I made my debut against Shakhtar Donetsk.
Sub or starting?
Sub. I came on as a sub.
Away. For who? Sorry, who was the manager?
Martin O'Neill.
Was it again? It wouldn't have been any inclination for Martin O'Neill that you were coming on, would there?
Nah.
So what was it, just Aidan going to get warmed up?
Aye, basically.
How was that?
Oh, I'm excited to be honest with you, because like, that's all you ever want to do. You want to play. You want to play in the Champions. Like, you come through at Celtic. I just always remember Tommy used to always say, like, don't just be a first team player at Celtic. You need to be a Champions League player for us and play every game for us and do well in the Champions League. And I just remember thinking, like, I'd love to play in the Champions League. So it's your dream, isn't it? And it was just like, well, we're getting beat anyway. We were losing 3-0. They had a really, really good team shirt on it. It's Fernandinho.
That's right.
The big Brazilian
Douglas
striker.
Douglas Costa. I see that.
No,
well.
Douglas.
He was a Hulk.
No, Hulk wasn't it? Hulk never played for Shakhtar.
Peterborough.
Hulk never played for Shakhtar.
Peterborough. Who's that with you? Are you like that fringe effect? Who's that? That's not unacceptable.
Who was the Brazilian striker? Zenit. That was right.
Hulk, yeah, he was at Zenit.
Who was the Brazilian striker for Shakhtar?
Big man Brandão with the big ponytail. Do you remember?
No, I can't remember him.
They had a really good team though. Fernandinho was like the captain.
He's looking at me in disgust. What was the college uni game when you tore him in the arsehole?
That was the same season. So like a couple
what
of
what age were you there?
18.
18, right. And that was just was that a start? What was your first start?
That was your first start.
Again, Martin O'Neill?
Aye. Again, I knew I was going to be playing, so we played Motherwell on the Saturday and I scored. From nowhere, to be fair, I started that game from nowhere and I scored and I thought, I've got AC Man on the Tuesday here. Like, is there a chance I could play? And he just named the team and I was in it again, standard Martin O'Neill stuff. But that was one of those ones, like, you know, you have a good first 5-10 minutes and you really settle down. Aye. You think, I wonder what it's going to be like. I think the first time I got the ball, I done a step over and got a cross in. And I just was like, felt loads and loads of confidence.
Well, you don't worry then, do you? Because no. Your first touch and your first bit of play is good.
Aye, that's the way you are as a young player, aren't you? You do
Did you
worry.
Think like that, Aidan, I'm going to go and attack him straight away? Or was it just aye, plays
would,
that came
me? I would, aye. But then if I didn't get by the fullback the first couple of times and he took the ball off me, that would set the tone for the rest of my game. When I was younger, it would do. And then as you get older, you start to learn that it doesn't make a difference, does it really?
And how was it? So no instruction from Martin O'Neill when you went into playing? I just go.
Nah, I'm maybe being a bit harsh on Martin.
No, but that's maybe the genius.
That's the way it is. That was kind of the way that he was a motivator back then, and he got like, everybody so much respect for him, and every young player did, and he just kind of told me to play, and it was like just do what you've been doing. Simple as that, really, and I kind of did.
Because you used to tell Lenny to do step overs, didn't he?
Aye.
And then what about their players' reaction to your, like, the big players at Celtic's reaction to you after that game with the buzzing off you? Or wasn't really a team like that, was it?
Nah, not really. Nah, I do remember that John Robertson kind of pulled me to the side after the game and was like, that you need to settle yourself down. Like, not in terms of you getting big headed or that, but be prepared for now you've kind of arrived. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? A wee bit like that. Prepare yourself for everything that's going to come your way now. You know, headlines and being in the press and stuff like that, because before this you were relatively unknown. That kind of made me think, I must have done all right tonight.
And did you go to Carbon straight after? Because it had been a Tuesday night, probably.
It was a Wednesday night. I think it was a Wednesday.
Bamboo?
I was out. I was out, mate.
No way, innit?
Straight away.
See, when you're doing South, how do the big, obviously Everton's a big club, how do the players down there look at Celtic and Rangers? I know what they think of the league, but what about Celtic and Rangers?
Aye, well, you would say that more so when they play against each other, some of them will want to go up and sample it.
Because, who wanted to go up, do you remember?
No, Stubbsy used to organise all that stuff.
Did he?
I think Wayne Rooney's been up to a few.
He sat in the Celtic in the
That's the weird thing for
remember?
England about me. Loads of players disrespect the Scottish League, but see when it's Celtic Rangers, everybody's wanting tickets to go.
Aye. Did they?
Aye. Everybody's always like, I'll go to a Celtic Rangers game. And I'm like, no, you've been slagging the Scottish League, mate, last year.
Yeah.
Aye. They don't have a high opinion of the league at all. You've been down there, you know. But when new games come around, then you'll get, you know, a group of boys maybe going up for the game.
So did you come up with a group of Everton boys?
I never went to them.
Did you know that? Yeah. Why, just for the hassle?
I'd been. Mm-hmm. I'd been, and at that point, going up, the night straight after a game, then go to the game, come back down, couldn't be bothered.
Bothered.
So I didn't go.
What about Everton? Were you any of the boys go up to there?
I think Jags went up a few times. I'm sure Jags did.
Oh, Jag Elkin.
Aye. Because he's good mates with the Gordon Smith son, isn't he?
Oh, the agent,
aye.
Right.
Aye. I'm sure Jags went up a few times. No, just the lads would say I'd love to go to a game, but not loads of
them. It wasn't like they would ask you stuff about it. They weren't interested until that game came around.
Just literally that game.
Unless I was a young player that was coming through, they'd be like, what's he like? Because they obviously, they're aware of them, but generally they wouldn't be that bothered unless they've got pals that have played up there or their pals are playing up there.
Would Big Dunk ever talk about it?
No.
Has he not bothered anyone now?
No. Well, it wasn't then. But to be fair, Big Dunk was like...
He wasn't really a Rangers fan, was he? Like, that's the impression I got from him. He wasn't really that bothered.
No. See, because of how he... Or the reasons why he left. Uh-huh. And the stuff with the SFA, he just wasn't interested. And even he got towards the end and he would always join in with the banter, but he still kept a distance. And if we ever done anything like end of season, went away to Marbella, him and his wee mate would come and they would keep a distance, then come in. It wasn't like he was always right
and
in
amongst
the
boys.
But he was there.
Yeah.
I tell you the story with I wasn't there because this time I did go up the road, but there was a night, the players had a night out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Emil had a night out on a Saturday with a game on the Wednesday, played Birmingham, and we get battered off of Birmingham on the Wednesday. And then on the Thursday, Moise had pulled everybody in, and they were like... I'm in there last night after that game and the manager's telling me yous have all been out on the piss. Unacceptable. What happened? And somebody says, oh, Gaffer, it was a team meal, everybody was there. And I was like young, so I'm like, it goes, were you there? Were you there? Were you there? Were you there? Go to me. Were you there? I was like, no. Big Dunk, were you there? Aye. I'm like, you weren't there? He's like, I know, but I'm just saying I'm there. Bastard, we didn't go after him. Well, no, terrified of getting into trouble. And he's like, aye, I was there.
Why do you think he'd done that? Just so it wouldn't look as bad because he was there?
Nah, he's taking a bit
no,
of
no, just because of the... And it was true, the story was that it was a team night out. And I think I'd went up the road, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there. But he's just like, well, if it's a team night out, it's a team night out. We're all in it together, basically.
Yeah.
And it was weird. And then as soon as he said it, and then I says, you weren't there. It's like, it doesn't matter. I thought, aye, all right.
He was just hiding behind the plant pot, wasn't he?
Come here, you. Rocco. Come here, you. What, did you ever, was he still mad on his pigeons? You remember telling me when you were there?
I wasn't close with Dunk, to be fair. I said that last time, nah. I was for a bit, like, going well with him and stuff, but there was a difference because he was a coach. You know, you have that different relationship as to him being a player. Right. It's a totally different relationship, but yeah, he was sound when I was at it before.
Right, Newcastle, they look like they did something special this year. What a result, 3-3 at Man City. Mm. How far can they go? Ken, we're talking about Leeds Europe. Can Newcastle break into that top four?
they're on the right track. I was there yesterday.
Oh, were you right?
It was incredible.
What atmosphere?
You were doing that game, weren't you?
They were sensational.
You did alright, didn't you? You get a bit
busy, mate.
Busy. Few quid.
Amazing. They were amazing. The first 10 minutes, Man City looked like they go in front and then they're just going to blow them away. And I thought they kept getting in the space in between midfield and defence, De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, Foden, they kept just, and Gundogan, they just kept picking up the ball. And I'm like, this is going to be a long afternoon. Newcastle just kept pressing. St Maximin was incredible. He was a joke.
What a player.
Kyle Walker got paced nearly every time yesterday. And it's, wow. I don't think it has ever happened in his career.
It's mad. I don't watch the role, but Kyle Walker, I fancy Kyle Walker over like 40 yards, but it's when someone's got the run on him and gives him 10 yards. St Maximin was getting there, wasn't he? But he wasn't.
But normally his recovery pace is really good.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you're saying. He never get back in. But I always found St Maximin would pace him and then he would. Walker would recover. Aye. But it's already done by that point. You're going.
Because St Maximin going to play for a top team?
Aye. If he played like that every week, it was like. It's not how when you're younger and you just get it and you just want to run straight at somebody.
Aye.
That was so what it was like yesterday.
Puts the defenders on the back foot.
Touch bang. The first three times he was faced the guy up. He faked it going to his right, dragged it on his left, and it worked every single time. And I'm like, the next time he's going to step inside, and the defender's going to buy the dragged on the left. It was incredible. They were brilliant. It was a brilliant game. And then De Bruyne's pass.
Unreal.
Oh, incredible. My God.
Yeah, what a player, man. Oh, he's the best midfielder about now, isn't he, De Bruyne?
He made them for 10 yards away.
Just seen the run through the legs. That was an incredible pass, man.
Newcastle need to get wee Matty Longstaff back in the team, so didn't it? It was at Aberdeen last year.
He's well, I came on yesterday.
But he done all right, didn't he? I quite like him.
I think that, do you know, when the takeover happened, everybody was like, oh, get Mbappe, get Messi, get all these players. But Eddie Howe, to be fair to him, he's brought in the right type of players, the right characters.
Boy, Bruno's good as well, isn't he?
He's a player.
Right, good Real Madrid like for him.
So I'm not going to get Mbappe in that anyway, regardless.
No, I know, but you know what it's like. I'm not saying that they've decided not to go for him, but they could have still paid well over the odds for players that they thought would get them at that level, but they've known that he was
saying Chris Wood instead. He says Chris Wood was the closest to Mbappe in the Premier League.
I think they paid over the odds, but they had to for all the players that they got in January anyway, because people weren't wanting to sell to them.
Aye.
Because they knew we sell with them. They're going to stay in the league. We don't want them to stay in the league.
Yeah,
but they have recruited well. You can't argue with that.
Was Walker the fastest you played, didn't he?
Walker. I remember playing against him and he was literally showing you the line.
Wanting you to run,
me.
You're like, come into me. I'm trying to get by you.
I'm dangling the foot.
He doesn't come impress you. I just
literally get the ball and he's like showing you the line. Remember playing against but White Hart Lane and he was showing me the line, mate, about 40 yards of space and I was like. Can't even attempt to run him here because he loves a battle as well, doesn't he? He loves getting close to somebody. Wow, coming inside past it.
And was he running the other way as well?
Yeah,
he's not massively. Whenever I played against him, I don't think he was massively attacking. He wasn't like sort of Danny Alves or something like that.
Did you play against Alves?
I played against Alves before. I'm just using him as an example. A proper attacking fullback would pass and go. Stephen Carr, for example, like what he was like, pass inside, bomb on.
Paul Telfer.
Try thinking I'll write back from Celtic. Can't
he's Walker the quickest though?
Aye.
Same with you,
fan. Yes, he's still the quickest as well. Yeah. He's like
32, 33.
Yeah, he's a freak, isn't he? They're all quick. Remember Micah Richards when he was younger as well.
He was a monster, wasn't he?
Just 18-year-old, just a giant, quick, bouncy, aggressive nerd. Sometimes like I'd be the target to go and hit, and you get a run at the defender.
What, on the diet? They'd hit you on the diet?
So you get a run at the defender, stick your knees in, hear them wince. Oh. Nah, he's just.
I just hear him running for the back, man.
But they're all like that.
Yeah.
They were all like big and powerful and
strong.
Again, Newcastle, what was the Newcastle team? I think you played against the team Shearer, Bellamy, Speed, Dyer, Woodgate. Yeah. They were a proper team as well. Was it Bobby Robson at the time?
I can't remember. I can't remember who the manager was, but playing against these players, you know they're obviously a big club. You go to their stadium, it's packed, the atmosphere's brilliant, and you're playing against, you know, top players. But I'm trying to think of actual specific games. I think we beat them quite a bit. I think we've always done well against them. I remember even with Birmingham, we played them at home. They had like Owen, the boy Jose Enrique, trying to think who else would have been in that team. And we'd always do well against them, but top players. Top players.
How was Bashir frightening?
Aye, was
strongest kind of life.
Aye. So aggressive.
Is he?
Aye. So aggressive, strong, just an unbelievable finisher. I remember probably more as he got a wee bit older and he was starting to lose the pace, but still he just like pin boys and just an absolute machine. Mm. And he was a top player. They talk about, you know, Harry Kane and all them. Shearer's definitely up.
His record's unreal. Oh, he never played for a top team.
No, I know.
But playing against the guys he played against.
Yeah.
Animals like Martin Keogh and Tony Adams. I bet you they come off the park thinking, he's gave as good as he's got today.
They would always say, wouldn't they, if somebody was to ask them who was the hardest like striker he played against, it would always be Henry or Shearer. Shearer would always be mentioned, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
just
hard,
like stand up to anybody. Because it was like, if you played up front, you knew you were getting clattered. You had to get back a wee bit, but he had something about him, and I'll bet you none of them enjoyed playing against him.
No, and you played Bellamy, how was he? He was sound, wasn't he?
Aye, he was actually.
Remember his first day Ferrari, Matt?
Aye, but aye, what was to be fair. First time I'd ever seen a Ferrari, actually. But misunderstood, I thought.
Yeah.
Came with a reputation, didn't he, of like, soonest let him go from Newcastle, because you can see why. Like, he probably
slagged his tash, didn't he?
Aye, probably slagged his barn at that as well. But you can see the way he was, like, and that's why he had a bit about him, didn't he? He was mouthy, he spoke his mind, he had an opinion, which is I have no problem with, but I thought he was a bit misunderstood.
Is he alright?
Good player.
Oh, mate,
very good player.
I thought he was just a speedboat, no driver. Aye, when he came, aye, that's what I thought. Player. Like, oh, he's rapid. That's it. Actually, brilliant on the ball as well. Yeah. And he was really, really good for me. He was really good for me because I was only 18, 19. He gave me a lot of good advice as well.
Really?
Would pull me to the side and tell me things, and I would always speak highly of him because you know he's got a reputation. As Craig Bellamy, he speaks his mind. He says what he thinks, but he was really, really good.
So you know when you get guys that are.
I don't mind that standards demanding.
Yeah.
When they train and they play, things annoy them if they're no right because they want to do as well as they can, they want to win, but off the park they're totally different. Or when they're no in that zone, right, ultra competitive, they're totally different. It's just the nature of them.
Was he there with Larson?
It was just after, but I just remember I've just thought of Bellamy and I've just seen Shearer's name there as well. Just remember, Jackie McNamara had his testimonial dinner and it was like in Donegal, there was about five dinners, man. This guy was wheeling up all sorts of money,
Jackie,
man. Oh, there was about five dinners, mate, five golf days.
Simon Donnelly was the guest speaker at everyone, wasn't he?
We played on a Saturday and we had to go straight to Ireland, the full team. So like, imagine that now, like the full team, like a compulsory trip to Ireland for somebody's testimonial dinner in Donegal. And we went there and it was like the Saturday night was like a black tie event. Again, it's unheard of, a black tie event for a player's dinner. And Bells was like, had quite a few drinks that day, everybody had, and he was battering Shearer.
On the text.
Because they'd fallen out and he was battering. Do you remember that? He was battering Shearer on the text and he was like, I've just texted Shearer, I just said, old man, hang your boots up, you're finished. And we're like, aye, good one, mate. And he's like, no, have a look. And he's like, got Shearer's writing back to him like that, if you ever come back, I'm going to take your head off. And he's just writing back to him like that, old man, you're done. And like, so it was a black tie doing Brian Quinn, who was a Celtic like chairman at the time, was speaking on stage, and Bellamy walks in with a denim jacket on and we're all sitting there with a black tie, and he walks in and he's like swagging through everybody, he's like, get him off stage.
He was a good guy. I remember he used to come to youth team games.
He's mad at his football, isn't
he? He loved it, didn't he? But I remember the same, like, he would give you like no advice, but if you'd watched the game, what are you thinking there, why are you doing that? Yeah.
He would never expect that
from him, do you know what I mean?
He had a bad reputation, maybe rightly so, I don't know, but he was very, very good at Celtic.
That kind of personality fitted in with that team with Sutton.
They got amazing
as
well, because Sutton that used to have him on post as well. Like, they would be massive time to him, but wind him up and he would bite every single time. Like, doing volleys or something and Bellamy would stick three past the post and Sutton would be like, put one on my left foot, put one on my left foot, youngin. And he would like volley it like left foot across his body top and he'd be like, that's how you do it, Bellas, young man. And Bellas would be fuming.
Mate, people don't know how good Sutton was as well, eh?
Nah, just a joke, mate.
Technique in that was ridiculous, wasn't it? Did you play against Sutton?
Aye. Played against him up here and when he was at Villa.
Oh, he went to Villa, didn't he?
Aye, he was a good player. He's another one. You talk about being hard and dealing with the physical. I thought he was good.
Because he played this year, you would have played this year at Blackburn, didn't
he? I did, it was SAS,
course, mate.
Come on.
I always thought the story was that Sutton texted Shearer off Bellamy's phone, but it was just actually
It was Bellamy.
Because we have just stuck him in, because that was Bellamy's excuse. No, it was Sutton.
And to be honest, mate, I don't think he actually kills anyway.
What was there a game he scored a hat trick with his left foot, right foot? It was a joke. Was it him then? Am I right in saying that?
I think it was
Dundee United.
Dundee United away.
Tannadice it was. Tannadice. He's one of the best hat tricks I've ever seen.
Oh, unbelievable. First one was like top right.
Top right,
right corner, right across the body. Next one was like a volley went up his left foot.
Yeah.
He was brilliant when he came to Celtic. And to be fair, he had to do well though, because he was kind of trying to rebuild his career a little bit after bad publicity in Newcastle, being let go. But he done really, really well for us. I wasn't surprised he didn't stay, to be honest with you.
Like, why?
Probably used it as a stepping stone.
He got what he wanted.
Celtic got what they wanted. They done really well, albeit we didn't win the league. Lost it on the last day.
He was there,
but...
And then he went on to play for Liverpool and Man City after that, didn't he?
I think he signed for Blackburn after us. It was Blackburn. And then everyone's like, that was backward step. I know it's the Premier League and stuff like that, but I think he gave a very good contract.
Yeah.
But he was really good. I've not a bad word to say about him.
Right.
But you look at that, I know we're moving on, but he came up and done well. He didn't score like 16, 17 goals. And then he's getting that move. You spoke about, what do people think of Scottish football? He's getting a move to Blackburn. So what's he thinking? If I sign, score 30, am I going to get a better move? Or do I go to Blackburn, rip it up and get
a move? I just
don't
think financially at that point, Celtic... Same now, that's what I don't think Celtic really could have...
Aye.
They could have been competitive with what teams in England were offering them.
When you think of that, it's mad that they managed to keep a hold of Arsenal for as long as they did, didn't it? With the money he would have been on compared to what he could have been on.
But I think Larsson was settled, wasn't he? Yeah. Certain clubs fit certain players. I think Larsson was.
I think if it was nowadays, it'd be different. It'd be a bigger challenge, because if he was doing it now, and a Man United comes in, you're talking
£300,000 a week compared to £100,000 a week back then. Maybe or 140 or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Right, we're on at Arsenal because they look absolutely brilliant. I think Bournemouth are a decent team, and they absolutely battered them, didn't they? Top four contenders, not just contenders, but I think they'll definitely get in this year.
I think we put them in, didn't we, last week?
I think did you put them in?
I put them in, I left Chelsea.
Jesus is brilliant.
He's got his mojo back.
Yeah. Just getting that responsibility, being the main man.
Main man, going to play. He's probably been sold. Look, you're coming in to set a standard. You've got a lot of young players running about you. Go and play how you can play. Inspire the ones running about you. Give him that responsibility, and he's responded to it. They've looked really good. But I think... They've all looked really good, and it shows you. We spoke about this as well, about a manager getting time to build and put his stamp on a team. A lot of young players in his tenure as manager, a lot of older players own fortunes that he wasn't frightened of Aubameyang.
No, not for me.
See you later. And he's just moulded the team into how he wants. He's fitted the players in. Zinchenko's another one, top player,
what a
top
player
signing. But it's two players that. Probably when you looked at Man City, you're going, why do they keep getting a chance? They're not good enough for Man City. Then they leave and you go, right.
Who's just played quite safe when he played for Man City, and now you see him.
When he first arrived, though, he came as the unknown quantity, didn't he, from Brazil, and hit the ground running, like scored like 8 in his first 9 games or something like that. His record was a joke, and he was the main man, and then gradually over time, he just became a kind of bit of a bit part player, didn't he? That's right, what you're saying about going back to Arsenal, where he is, by the way, you're going to play every week here and you're going to be the top man. And he's responded to it. He is a top player.
This podcast goes all different ways. I wasn't even thinking about bringing this up, but talking to Brazilians, how was Juninho when he came? Were you in the first team at that time? Because he didn't really suit a Martin O'Neill team, did he? But what a player he was, nah?
Oh, he was incredible, mate.
In training?
Man. He's incredible, mate.
Well, up there with one of the best you've seen?
Aye.
Was he?
In training, anyway. He had so much ability, but... Again, you could say, did the Scottish game suit him? Maybe
like
not.
Martin,
he
played Pierce.
He played in England Premier League.
It's different. You're coming up there, you're never going to do anything apart from kick him. Doesn't matter how good you are up here, you're kicking him.
But he played for Middlesbrough, who weren't renowned as like a footballing team, were they?
They had like Ravenelli, Emerson, they brought that kind of flair and tried to play like that. And it's not that
Celtic are good players as well.
I know, but it's like, right, smash them, keep him out of the game, don't let him dictate.
I don't even think, I know what you're saying, I just don't think he even got that, he just never got into a rhythm. Yeah. He never got into a rhythm. He started probably like 4, 5, 6 games in a row, then it was like, when's he going to kick on here?
Yeah.
And you just seem to, the games just seem to pass him by a little bit.
But is it because that football was maybe a wee bit direct?
Maybe a bit direct, possibly. And he was playing that position where I just always find I'd watch him and I'd be like, it's not really affecting the game. He's trying to play as a number 10, but maybe he's better playing off the left and drifting inside.
Like a Maravchuk type role.
Aye. Uh-huh. He literally would play as a 10. And then how do you squeeze him into a team if you're going to play two strikers and it's going
Sutton,
to be
Hartson,
Sutton and Hartson or Sutton and Larson? And, but in training, man, he was incredible. Mate.
Was he, yeah? What, like Megs and...
Oh, so you know that one where you like...
Drag it.
Where you drag it behind you and it's like a... What did the kids
the one your wee boy done?
Aye, that one, aye. It's like a hocus pocus or something, that one. He was the first guy I'd ever seen do that.
In training?
Ever, mate.
Who did he do?
He done it in training in a box, the ball came to him and you know it's a one-touch box and he's let the ball run through him and he's went to, you know, to like drag it behind himself
and it was Ulrich
Larsson and he's went through his legs and we were all like, what
to who, Ulrich Larsson?
Ulrich Larsson. Yeah. We were like, Juninho, mate.
What was that, mate?
You've just done. And he showed us that it's just his ability was a joke. Like one touch shooting and like you know like you zing the ball out and you've got like a touch and finish. He would always like control with outside his foot and bounce it back up again and like sidewind our volley.
Wow.
So
is
much
Mizuno,
ability.
Is it Mizuno's
aye? He's so small though as well. Aye, he's so lightweight.
Jim O'Brien shouting Nino turn around. Nino fucking passes the ball. Guys on the World Cup.
Juninho's on the World Cup, he's playing for the Reds, he's at Shibury.
Jim O'Brien's the ball.
No, funny story about
Ulrich Larsson, because I liked Ulrich Larsson, he was a strange guy, but
I know exactly what you're gonna say here.
Do you know what it is?
I know exactly
so
what
I
is.
Was working in the boot room one day and you'd always like looking at the dressing room, see what first team players were about. So Ulrich Larsson comes out the shower, he's drying himself. And I just look through, he doesn't know I can see him. So he's looking and then he starts drying his balls. And then he smells his balls and he goes, "Hello, Mr. Sweaty Balls Man." But I was thinking, how's these boys still smell? He's just been in the shower.
I mean, what you didn't know was he knew you were there. He stopped to you. That wee guy's putting in a shift in that button.
As soon as I brought that name up, I knew you would say that story.
Oh, mate, that's my favourite story in life, man. He was a strange character, wasn't he?
Oh, he was different.
But actually, wasn't a bad player.
It was Melberg, I'm thinking about.
Olive Melbourne.
When he used to get interviewed, he'd always like
scratchy. He was a handsome boy, wasn't he?
Oh, aye.
I remember Larsson. He was at Aston Villa as well, wasn't he, Larsson?
Larsson, I went to Aston Villa. What about Juninho with the players as well? How were they with him? Would he got on with that sort of pattern that they had? I don't think you remember.
He was just like a typical foreigner, to be fair. He was a nice guy.
Uh-huh.
Nice guy. He liked, like, wasn't like annoyed when he wasn't playing. Like, he was annoyed, but he wasn't a bad guy at all. Wasn't a bad egg whatsoever. Yeah. Was like a good lad. Like a nice guy.
Remember the boy Amoruso came on? Do you remember him, the striker? Amoruso, he came on trial. Do you remember that with De La Peña?
I remember De La Peña.
How good was he, mate?
How did we not sign him?
I know, he was a joke, wasn't he?
I remember him training. I was like, is this that De La Peña? He was at Barcelona. Absolutely ran the show in La Liga for the last 15 years.
Scary. Right, have you watched the Arsenal documentary?
No, I know yet.
Have you not watched it?
I've done every game that's been on in the last week.
You're busy, mate. All right, I get that.
I've watched about it, mate.
What do you think?
Interesting.
You're not having it, mate.
No, I think...
It's a bit Brent, isn't it?
I think he's got good ideas. He does have good ideas, and the players seem to have responded to him. But there's some things there you'd
love to. I've heard.
But I think modern players do love this stuff, don't
they? I don't know if they do, mate. I think modern managers love that stuff. You know, like when he's drawn the road, or he's drawn the heart and the brain. There's like maybe faces on them, and then he's got the bit behind, and it's the supporter. I think you can just talk about
just
that instead of drawing a diagram. I don't know. It's just. It's what works for him, isn't it?
Have you seen the light bulb? He puts the light bulb in,
So he draws a Y and then the light bulb and then you...
No, he's actually holding a light bulb, plugs it into the wall.
Right.
Edison invented the light bulb and he's talking about how it gets the plug to the shine bright.
No, I've not seen that bit yet. I
thought
you meant
the light
bulb
like
where
a diamond, he starts singing Rihanna.
I thought you meant he draws a light bulb and then he does a wee face and does a wee head at the side of it, like a wee circle, and it's like somebody bending over. Have I seen that one?
No.
Have I seen that one?
No,
I'll do it for you now.
Right, good. While you're saying that, you played on that was one of my questions. Have you been on the licences with Yogi where you think he's doing...
No.
You think he's doing... Have you heard of it?
Aye.
Yeah, this is Yogi. No. So obviously, like, your A license or your B license is so serious. And he'll.
Does that mean Friday light bulb, mate?
Aye. He's for people that can't obviously see this. Good.
You know what I mean?
It looks like Kev.
That's what I thought you meant he was doing. That's what I thought he was doing. I've seen it so many times.
Imagine he done that.
That's what he done. Hey, fucking play with passion. How often does he swear when the swear word doesn't really go in the sentence?
Yeah. Who's managers you've had to his team talks or something thinking, what the fuck is that? The Canio could be like that sometimes, mate.
We'll leave that at you.
And you're thinking, what the fuck? Where are you going with this, man?
Talk about that.
Hey. Oh, because you're still playing, huh?
I think it's hard when you're still playing. Uh-huh. Although,
but you didn't need a name. Is there anything that's been said in particular? But when you've been playing, you're like, what the fuck is that? I remember the Canio spoke about an Olympian washing his hands for like 20 minutes, mate. We are sitting there freezing fucking cold December and he's telling us about how an Olympian washes his hands. 20 minutes it lasted, mate.
Why?
Fuck knows. Preparation or something he was talking about. Just went off on tangents, mate.
What's washing your hands got to do with sprinting?
Because that's the Olympian washed his hands a certain way before every time he trained.
Oh, right. So you've talked about just a superstition.
No,
so,
that's how he prepares for training. Aye. And he talked about how our lack of preparation and this is what the elite athletes do, mate. But as I say, it was like -3 in December.
But if he doesn't wash his hands for, say it's 10 minutes and he loses the race, he's going to say, I should have washed them for 20. So he's trying to get you to be superstitious so that you're worrying about your performance.
And mate, I had no idea where it was going to go. And then he's like, after training, I show you in the toilet. So he'd take you in the toilet and show you how the Olympian washed his hands. And you were like, what is this, man?
Balls, man.
Mr. Sweaty. Ulrich Larsson was on the sink with the boys. What about an amazing team talk you've had? Can you remember any brilliant ones?
No specifically, but I say this all the time. Big Ike was top class at team talks. Brilliant.
How do they always come up with something new every week? Like, I'm thinking, how the fuck? He speaks every day about something new.
Arteta's definitely got a psychologist or he's watching psychology videos, definitely, because I've heard other people use the same things that he's done before as well.
Oh, have you?
But he draws on the board and he's like grabbing the team's attention. That there's no way he's coming up with stuff on his own.
On his own,
nah,
I don't know how.
There's no way. Did you see the bit where he's done the graph and it's like he was talking about the heart scare they had when he was a kid? But then by the end of it, there was about 8,000 words on the board with like little diagrams and stuff. That I was like, there's no way everyone can take all that information.
No
way.
What would Big Ike just get your?
He just had a way. I don't know. I don't remember specifics. He just got you fired up. He got you ready. I've told you the story about when Walt was a manager and he used to get wee Billy.
Oh, wee Billy for that. Wee physio
jokes.
That's brilliant. I never thought Walter Smith would be like that at all.
I wasn't ready for it because you're sitting there ready to go. He kept checking his watch. And all the preparation had been done, and he'd be like, right, lads, you know what you're doing. I'd still have a brilliant team talk, but you know what you're doing. Right, blood up you get. I'm like, what's happening here? Are you guys rolling about the fire telling jokes?
Who's this that would
tell? The masseur.
Oh, the Chelsea boy.
Have you seen the Peter Trent joke?
They tell all the jokes. That's the last thing that we remember getting out into the game.
I wonder how he gauges like what games that you need that and what games you didn't.
No, that was his routine now.
What, every after game that, he would tell a joke?
Tell the jokes.
That's mad, eh?
I think it's true. I think it's right. Like, I agree with that though. I think you can be overloaded with information the full week.
Yeah.
And you're constantly thinking about the game right before you go out, and then he goes, right, let's lift the mid a little bit.
That's brilliant. But then you'll start to look for it.
Relax a little bit.
You blood's getting all the tail jokes, can't wait. Uh-huh. You've got a game.
So you're not listening to a word he's fucking saying, you're just waiting on me, brilliant.
You just know it's coming. He's doing all these things during the camp and all that. It's mental. There have been a few dodgy ones, I'm not telling you about.
But what? No, but certain things that they spoke
getting
about.
Getting players' names wrong and the instruction and getting the attributes of some players wrong.
See, when somebody gets their player wrong.
He can't run and he's an Olympic sprinter. Things like that.
See, when somebody gets their name wrong, do players ever correct it?
The shoulders just go down.
Go ahead. That's brilliant. Andy tells it. Pedro Cachinho called Barry Mackay Robbie for like 3 weeks. And Andy's like, tell me your name's fucking Barry.
No, I would say that, but it'd be like, you go into a team talk with certain managers, you date with everyone, even the best.
Tapping your
They've got a certain thing they dare say, and you're like, count how many times they say, you know, or count how many times this happens, and then you're at the meeting and you're going, oh, what about that one? That was a cracker, and you've no remembered. So
Kev McDonald, I've said it again on the podcast, but, you know, Kev McDonald, he was Aston Villa reserve manager for years, got a great record. He came to Swindon, and me and Top Edo sitting next to each other every time without fail. It might not have been start, middle or end, but he'd always get in. We all know you're good footballers. It's about proving you're good footballers. Every time, mate.
I'd give the island. He was standing.
Great guy, mate. I loved him, mate. I actually say something, you know, you're always there.
Such a good accent as well, because he's from Inverness.
Inverness, mate. He was a top man, but he loved that, mate. He'd go off on a rant and he'd always end up with that, and he'd do that wee stun every time. Brilliant. Right, you played with that too?
Aye.
Good guy?
Top player.
Was he brilliant?
Aye, he was top player.
Did he have that belief? Because he seems like he's got that in himself.
A real... Like, he could join in the banter, but when he trained, he was so focused and so serious about what he was doing, and he was a phenomenal football player.
Was he? Huh?
Aye, great touch, vision. He could range a pass and just, you know how when somebody just kicks a ball nice?
Yeah.
Just unbelievable technique. And
could you see him as a manager back then, Faddy? I know he was young.
I don't think you look at players really, but. He had, like, I think he was one of, certainly Everton, he was one of the first to get like a chef and start really worrying about preparation and stuff like that. But he was so, like, we played, I know we spoke about the Villarreal, we'd played another team in Europe where we had to score goals. It might have been the same season, actually, Dynamo Bucharest at home, where he put him on the wing. Why did he put him on the wing? Because his delivery was that good. And he was just phenomenal. Like, taking people on, skills.
So he could go and kind of play anywhere?
Dunk through the middle, get crosses in the box. He was a phenomenal football player, really was.
Do you play against him?
No, I don't think.
Not Rangers, like before you, was
against him, no, he was before me at Rangers.
He was a funny guy, actually, as well.
Is he a funny guy?
He was all right. He'd get involved in the banter.
Because he does that a wee bit in the documentary.
I heard that him and Tim Cahill, though, used to have like a fashion show where they'd have each other off every single day in terms of their gear.
That's what I heard.
Like, you know how when you're on holiday and everybody's running for the sunbeds?
Mm-hmm.
When we moved into Finch Farm, they two were running for the locker closest to the mirror.
Oh, did
they were on holiday throwing that out.
What was his club or decent? Because he's got a bit on the side, didn't he?
No, it's better now. It's better now than what it was. The two of them would be fighting for the mirror. Uh-huh. By the way, I'm looking at myself.
That's a stunt. Oh no, we've got the invincible side at Arsenal, sorry. You played against them as well. Some teams you've played against,
aye. Played against the Invincibles.
Who's the best team you played against? Invincibles, Man United?
See,
Mourinho's Chelsea, nah?
See, Mourinho's Chelsea, they would beat you and they'd be happy just beating you. And they could still beat you 4-0, but they'd just be efficient, they'd just beat you. The Arsenal team wanted to battle you. They wanted to humiliate you and embarrass you.
I'm getting a flashback, was it 7-0? If I remember that,
7-0.
Vieira dinks the goal in, eh? Is that game? I think
that's
I remember.
It's not a flashback, I remember, but 7-0. They were phenomenal, really.
Like, they're all specimens, weren't they? Every one of them, man. Except Philly Dixon.
Ball speed was incredible.
Ball speed. What was it, the intensity that they played it to?
They just pace everywhere. Obviously, Henri was playing Bergkamp, with no pacey, but top player. Perez, Ashley Cole was there, Vieira, Lundberg when he was,
Campbell.
Was there.
Campbell, so Campbell.
Honestly, some team. My United team were similar in terms of they would battle you as well. They'd be like, we want to score, and we want to score, and we want to score, and we want to score. So to pick, there was a thing a few weeks ago, and they were saying, oh, is this the best rivalry in terms of Man City and Liverpool? I don't think so. I think that Arsenal-Man United for me, because of the, like, one team dominated, the other team made the other team better, and they just kept coming back, and the players they had were phenomenal. The 7-0 game for us was, we'd played on a Saturday, can't remember who played, we won that game, Liverpool were playing on a Sunday. If Liverpool lost, they couldn't finish fourth, and we secured fourth. And we were playing Arsenal on the Tuesday or the Wednesday. So the manager after the Saturday says, right, job done, watch a game tomorrow. If Liverpool lose and we finish fourth, we're in town, meet in this place, wherever it was, we're on it. So we were on it, celebrating like we'd won the league. knowing fine well you got to Highbury to get absolutely smashed. But you then go.
So were you rough when you played that?
Well, we played them the Wednesday, so it's not the best preparation to be going out and getting smashed on a Sunday. And they were incredible. Absolutely incredible.
You think Henry's the best Premier League player of all time? Obviously Ronaldo, but I mean how he performed in the league.
I think it's too hard
to pick. I really
need to pick one though.
Go Gears.
You've
one,
got to pick one, who are you saying? Like
Parler.
Parler was a good player, mate.
He was
there's that many. There's that many though, you could say, oh, how good was he though and how good was he? But Henry, the one I would say is probably is Henry, isn't it?
He was roasting the best centre half in the world, mate. Ferdinand,
you just said there when you named that team there and you go Henry and then Pires.
Pires was Bergkamp, a joint Bergkamp.
Bergkamp was an absolute joy.
That goal
joy,
against Newcastle was ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, so clever, so intelligent as well. Yeah. Pires that season as well, was he not like player of the year that season?
Yeah, I think he was.
He was an absolute double player of the year, man.
But I seen something the other day that somebody in that Arsenal team says they never done shape, never done tactics.
No.
Henry never tied his laces for training either.
Wow.
Heard that as well. Loads of things. No, genuinely,
I believe
in it. Yeah, like loads of lads are. I mean, Patrick Craig.
Patch. What a guy.
He was at Arsenal at the time when I was like in Ireland, and he used to say, "She's here in training, she doesn't try to tie his vapors."
Wow.
They were a joke.
The way he
wants. I think it's too hard to pick a player.
What about team then? Mourinho's Chelsea, Wenger's Arsenal, or Ferguson's Man U?
No, giving Guardiola a shout.
Are joking ears Wimbledon?
They're giving Guardiola a shout. City a shout, no? Not the same
no, I'm just talking about that kind of era he played.
I played against. Don't know. Through that spell that I played there, they were all phenomenal at different times. It's too hard to pick.
I'm going invincibles, I think.
Aye. I think over the longevity, though, of my United team, that's the trophies they won, you could probably make an argument for them, but that invincible season, who goes to the Premier League season unbeaten? Doesn't happen, does it?
I think.
Well, it's only been done once.
Aye. Yeah.
Before that, the treble winner.
Aye, the treble winners as well.
Phenomenal.
Right, this is my new favourite podcast. Hope you're listening to this, Lenny. Which you will be because he's a paranoid, right? If you want to know if he gets spotted.
Yeah, I'm on.
Have you got a message for him before he goes? He's desperate to get on it, mate.
Come on, Slaney. Just come on, mate. You'll be all right.
Don't know if he's ready for it.
You'll be all right, mate. I'll look after you, Slaney.
He's a top man, isn't he?
He's trying to get his other podcast going.
What's the other one?
The Open Goal one. The Broomhill one. He's in charge of it.
Oh, is he?
Uh-huh.
How's his comeback going, by the way?
But he was on the bench Saturday. So he's been looking good in training. We played a bounce game last week. He played 35 minutes.
Just keep the meter doing me, man.
Just keep
the
meter doing, just keep running up and down the pitch with me, man.
Is he getting there?
He's getting there, mate. It's going to take him a while because he's been out for so long, but he's getting there slowly but surely, mate. Still does some things in training, you think, wow. I've done a wee attacking defence.
To throw him in, though? Like...
Might need to now, mate, because we've got a lot of injuries, so he might need to come on and play. The plan was for him to play 15 minutes.
I hope he's not listening. I might need to play him.
No.
He's getting
honestly,
there,
see, last week, went by two players, dropped his shoulder, left foot, top bin.
Really?
Uh-huh. He's still got a bit, mate, definitely.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.